Everybody, this is Eric Mann. You're on with Voices from the Front Lines, your 4 o'clock drive time, walk time, bicycle time, public affairs hour on KPFK 90.7 FM. Joining me now are Sharon Haparachi, a Dorsey High School English teacher, English department chairperson, who's also active in Dorsey's UTLA chapter in the Coalition for Educational Justice, or CEJ. Also joining us is Taylor Broom, a graduate of Dorsey in 2011 and a community organizer with Coalition for Educational Justice. I've asked Sharon and Taylor to come on the show to help us understand how the LA Unified School District is threatening to destroy another of LA's historic high schools in South Los Angeles with this new word called reconstitution. Very clever. A radical, or I would say reactionary, restructuring program from outside the school with no input for teachers of the community, starting with the firing or dismissal of all the faculty and selective rehiring. This has happened at many Black and Latino schools across South LA, and a large group of Dorsey parents and alumni fighting to not let reconstitution happen at Dorsey. They're holding a rally in front of Dorsey this Thursday, and we really want you to come out and attend, and they'll tell you how to do it. Sharon and Taylor, thanks for being on Voices from the Front Lines.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Sharon, would you begin by just explaining exactly what is School Superintendent Deasy threatening Dorsey with? What would reconstitution look like?
Well, reconstitution is basically one of the alternatives to what we're currently going through, which is the writing of, or the revising, actually, of a public school choice plan as a plan to improve the school, to show what we're going to do to reform it. If Deasy does not approve the plan, then the alternative at this point is reconstitution, which means, as you said, they would get rid of the entire faculty, everybody at the school, and everybody would have a chance to apply for their job, but no more than 50%, as I understand, would be allowed to get their positions back.
That means you could work 15 years for the school. Mm-hmm. And they basically have broken the back of seniority.
That is what would happen if we were reconstituted, correct? Because they can select any 50% that they want.
And if you were an activist, an organizer for social justice, mm-hmm. and they saw you as a danger to their agenda, they could just not rehire you?
They could. I don't want to make predictions.
No, they could. I said they have the legal right to.
True. But the basic point is they could accept back anyone that they want, and 50% would be the maximum. So it could be even less than that they would hire back.
Wow. All right. Now, this is the threat. We don't have time to get into how they got the power, but what legal rights do you have and what political possibilities do you have to try to beat this thing?
Well, right now there are a couple of things, and Taylor can speak to that.
Yeah, I'm going to speak to Taylor in a minute.
Yeah, so right now there's a couple of things that we're trying to do. One, we're trying to engage as many parents and community members as possible just to let them know what it is, because there is, I think, a mistaken idea that reconstitution is a way to reform schools or to get rid of bad teachers, but we need them to understand that what it does is it breaks down a school community. So it does destroy, you know, especially at a school like Dorsey that has such a strong history, families that return generation after generation, it will really dismantle that. And so we need the parents and community to understand what it means for a school to be reconstituted. Secondly, we are trying to engage as many decision makers. We're trying to talk to our school board members. Our school site is, again, putting a lot of work trying to write this plan for approval. There's a group of people working really hard on that. So these are all important parts of it, and I think that the key thing at this point is for everyone to understand what it would mean and what a tragedy would be if a school like Dorsey or Crenshaw or any of these South LA schools that have been serving the community for such a long time, if they were to be reconstituted.
Well, Taylor, hi. Nice to have you on the show, Taylor.
Good to be here, honey.
Now, you're a graduate of Dorsey, and you're an organizer with Coalition for Educational Justice. How are you organizing now against the reconstitution? Who are you talking to, and what are you telling them? How are you explaining the issue?
Well, first and foremost, I educate the students on what's going on at Dorsey, so every Thursday, we're meeting in Sharon's classroom, talking about these issues and really getting them pumped up to engage to the fight and understand what reconstitution is and what we need to do to stop it. I also help with parent meetings, so we're getting the parents involved to understand what reconstitution is and why we want to add Dorsey. And we also coming up with a Facebook page, which is Dorsey Don's Fighting Reconstitution. You can come and like it. We're up to 387 likes so far on the page.
Okay.
Also, we're talking about this big community event that's going to happen September 27th at the Rancho Gym at 5:30 to 7:30. So we're going to help alumni, community members, parents, and students understand how important it is for a school like Dorsey to not get reconstituted and what the things that they can do to get involved to stop it. And it just also leads to other things we want to do, petitions, rallies, marches, just to get a lot of attention from the community to get the district's attention on how we're not going to, absolutely, positively not going to let a reconstitution happen at Dorsey.
Let's talk about the rally on September 27th, a community meeting, 5:30 at Rancho Cienega Gym. This is 100 feet from Dorsey High.
Correct.
5001 Rodeo. Tell us exactly where that is. How would you get there?
Well, people who were driving, I would say the closest, like, it's right on King and Rodeo, and you'll just see the gym right there. Or whoever wants to take the Expo line, they can take the blue line and get off at the La Brea and Expo station, and you're right inside the park.
Sounds great. So it's basically Rodeo and King.
Right.
At 5:30.
Right.
Next question, and we're going to still go to the content. If people want to reach you, Taylor, how do they do so?
People can email me. My email is Taylor, C-H-A-L-O-N, Broom, at yahoo.com. Also, if they want to write on my Facebook page, that's for the Dorsey Reconstitution. Like, I love to hear comments from people of how they feel about reconstitution and how it happened at other schools. And also, they could just, you know, call my cell phone, which is 323-392-4790. Like, people can get to me any way they want to, basically.
Well, thanks for making yourself so available. Now, let's go back to this question. As they say, back in the day, but all our children went through the public school system in L.A. One daughter went to John Burroughs and then to CES. Another daughter went to John Burroughs and then Fairfax. I never was spending a lot of time talking about bad teachers. When my student would come home, my daughter would come home, say she had a bad teacher, I said, well, how's your homework doing? When we would go in on open school nights, I don't remember any bad teacher. I mean that. I mean, some were better than others, but I felt that every teacher I met was absolutely committed to helping my daughters, and they got a good education. So how did this whole rap, in terms of winning the battle of ideas, how are we now discussing how many bad teachers to get rid of versus the concept of what are we even talking about?
Mm. Yeah, it's a great question. I think that the bad teacher rhetoric is exactly what, as you said, it's not the real reason. That's not the real cause of test scores or why schools are being threatened with reconstitution. I mean, there's a lot of factors involved, but basically I think there are schools in this neighborhood, schools that are predominantly serving African American and Latino students that one after one are being targeted without addressing all of the external social factors that affect a school's performance. And so the bad teacher thing, I think, is an easy excuse. It's an easy thing to target to say, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna get rid of 50% of the teachers at the school and say I did something to reform schools. That is not, in fact, reforming the school, but it sets it back years and years.
Well, Sharon, one thing is, let me just take a minute with both you and Taylor. I want to keep advancing this, which is if you take a child from a low-income community, a low-income Black and Latino community, mm-hmm. there are so many factors before that child even gets in the door that we have to go through, from hunger to being late to family pressure to just all the different pressures, to not having a place to study, to not even be thinking sometimes about studying because of all the pressures at home. Then you have the kids that are working as hard as they really can, And then they get there, and there are so many structural problems in the school itself in terms of class size, in terms of... So how has this debate been won? I know Alex Caputo-Pearl and Noah Lippe-Klein, a lot of people have been working for years against this standardized testing, but it seems like they're so, almost like wearing people down. And each time they seem to win an argument, and then you guys are fighting up a harder and harder boulder.
Yeah. I will say that right now, I think everyone at these school sites, they are working their hardest to actually not only teach kids critical thinking skills, give kids sort of hands-on learning experiences, but they are working to actually teach students to improve their skills. And those skills do get reflected on the test scores. And at Dorsey, you know, those have been improving. But I think what you're saying is really important, that it seems like that all the other factors are not taken into consideration, nor are they addressed, as budget cuts keep chipping away at counselors and social workers and attendance counselors, and you know, all the things that we know actually lead to student achievement. They're being taken away, and you know, and at the same time, we're being asked to somehow produce more. So I think, you know, at a school like Dorsey, again, to reemphasize, I mean, we've got a huge huge percent of students with special education needs. We've got a huge percent of students in foster care and group homes, and that community provides a lot of stability for a lot of our students. And so, again, the very things that are helping the kids to do as well as they are the things that are being threatened right now.
Taylor and both Sharon. Taylor, start with you. I read in one of the things I got that there's a lot of actually incredibly innovative programs that are already in place in Dorsey and that are trying to be expanded. Could you both talk about some of the things that already are being doing that I thought were pretty exciting?
So, Taylor, did you want to talk to that, or do you want me to go?
Well, I could just talk about a little bit, like, when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we had, like, humanities class, where our teacher would help us, you know, go out and learn about the environment and how to keep it more safe. And we learned about what the food that we're eating. And also we had kids have scholarships from the same teacher who taught film. So he was helping kids get scholarships to go on to follow their dreams. Also, we had, like, a great drama teacher who was, like, doing plays and having red carpet events for the students. We had my history teacher, Noah Lippe-Klein. He taught us, like, real history, and it wasn't just about bubbling answers, but really engaging and figuring out what was going on back in history. And, like, the list just goes on and on. Like, my teachers were so supportive, and, you know, I graduated from Dorsey with a 3.7, and that wasn't because I had bad teachers. I actually had a whole support system there helping me along. So when I hear people say Dorsey had bad teachers, like, I'm a prime example of how teachers get you engaged and get you on to graduation and moving on to college.
Well, you sound great. I mean, I hope you're putting that in your organizing work, because that was very persuasive to me. I just want to hop over to Crenshaw High for a minute, and we'll come back to Dorsey, because I want the listeners to understand how systemic this is. What's the relationship of certain struggles happening at Crenshaw and how they're relating to what's happening at Dorsey? Because I know that Coalition for Educational Justice is also working in Crenshaw.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, Crenshaw is in a slightly different situation, but we're under the similar threat. I mean, over the summer, there was talk of maybe putting Crenshaw on this public school choice list, which would mean they'd have to do this plan writing process, which would either be accepted or lead to reconstitution as well. They did have a really strong showing of community support and parent support, and they were able to basically just buy themselves a little more time. I mean, that's the way I read
right,
the situation.
Right, that's me too.
But it's a very similar thing. They've been working, they've been engaging with community, they've been developing community partners to help with this, you know, this new plan that they want to implement to improve student performance, but it's just kind of being threatened at this point, because right now they are basically just waiting maybe I think it's another year that they have to show some kind of drastic change, or they could be back in the same boat as we are right now.
So if they bought a year, what's the ultimate agenda? I mean, you don't want to get into why is this happening? Why is this whole reconstitution movement? And how does it relate to, this is something I need to understand, how does it relate to privatization and charter schools?
Well, it's definitely a part of that whole big picture of there is this movement towards charter schools, towards privatization, of basically kind of breaking down public schools and giving them away. That's what's been happening. It's happened all over South LA already. I mean, we've seen it happen to Fremont. We've seen it happen at Manual Arts. And it has a couple of effects. One, students there is no public school in their immediate neighborhood. Students end up going to charter schools and they go to private schools, and the union ends up being weakened. There's all sorts of effects, and they all seem to hurt kids, as far as I can see.
As I always say, I'm an organizer. You both are amazing. I mean, I want to thank you both for... you're still on the show. It's not a thank you, goodbye. I want to thank you both for the amazing work you're doing, because this is very heavy lifting. As I always say, as an organizer, where do you see the hope? Tell me, where's the hope here?
I feel like the hope is in the people's voice. In a lot of schools that were reconstituted before, I feel like it wasn't enough voice being said. Like, we need to get all parents, all teachers, all students, all alumni, and all community members involved to not just stop a reconstitution at Dorsey, but to just stop reconstitution, period. Enough of our schools have been taken over in a Black and Latino community, and a lot of our kids cannot afford to go to a charter company or pay for their education everywhere they go. We need everybody to understand that schools need to stay public and not be privatized, and that they need to, and if they care about, and if they care an ounce about their kids' education, they need to get involved in the fight, not to just stop a reconstitution at Dorsey, but to stop reconstitution, period. They need to be at the school board telling Superintendent Daisy, do not do this at Dorsey, Crenshaw, or any other school from now on, and let them know that this can't stop. We just need their voice.
Well, that's very hopeful. Tell us also hopeful things about, you're all working with students, parents, and teachers. Tell us some good stories about people that are coming forward.
It's been really great, I think, just to see the number of people that care. I mean, the people that, not even people that went to Dorsey, just people that know Dorsey, whose aunt went to Dorsey or whose mom went to Dorsey, and hearing them respond, you know, to read their comments on the Facebook page, to have them come to our meetings and just get really fired up about this, that's been really encouraging. And it's been the thing that makes me feel like there are people out there that care. I mean, sometimes you go through the day as a teacher and it just feels like you're just kind of getting beat down and people don't see your point of view. But, you know, when you get a lot of parents or a lot of community members who say, you know, no, we're here, you know, we've got your back, we support you, that, to me, has been the thing that's gotten me through the weeks so far, you know, and that continues to grow. So I'm really excited to see the turnout on September 27th. I mean, there's so many people that have expressed that they want to support it and they're behind it and they want to be there. And in addition to parents and community members, there's all these people from other schools. And I feel like that's a key thing too. You know, we've got to be connected to the broader school community. I mean, the whole district community. So, and I think that's starting to happen, and that's really encouraging to me.
Are you working with parents and teachers and students in preparation for this meeting on September 27th? Are people doing role-playing? Are people working on their presentations? When we organize, when we go to the MTA, we don't just walk in. We get organized ahead of time, so we actually have a plan. Are you working in some way to have a plan and conscious character to this work?
Yeah, Taylor, why don't you talk about what's been going on the last couple weeks?
Well, yeah, we've been having parents come to our meetings really prepared, and I just came back from our meeting with the students, because they put together this skit, and like they memorized a lot and they're so ready to perform, and we're just getting last minute preparations done, but we've been planning this for months, so we're just ready.
Sean?
Yeah, same thing's been happening. Parents started meeting at the beginning of the summer just to learn a little bit more about it. The students have been meeting weekly since school started. learning about it, preparing for this event, figuring out the follow-up, well, what's going to happen after this event? You know, how do we keep this momentum going? How do we continue to develop support and just get information out there? But all of these groups have been working, I mean, tirelessly for months at this point. And I think we sort of see this as just a beginning. This is not, it doesn't stop at this event. This is the beginning of kind of a movement, I think, to protect our schools.
Well, you know, I've written a book called Playbook for Progressives, 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer, and I'd like to get you a couple of copies because you're both very successful organizers already. One of the things we do, like in the Bus Riders Union, and we do it also with Community Rights Campaign about trying to stop the mass incarceration of Black and Latino students, that what I find so fascinating is you start out with a cause, right? You start out with a demand, like in this case, to stop the ticketing of students on their way to school.
Mm-hmm.
But what gets so rich is then the students have to learn the laws, and they have to learn the rules, and they have to understand how to speak against the other proposal. Then they have to read stuff. Then they have to, like in your case, Taylor, you were talking about how you're very clear against privatization, how you're just listening to you talk. It's obvious you've been doing some studying and thinking, and we found that the students love this, that the preparation for these meetings becomes, in fact, an educational experience where they learn a whole lot about how the system works. They learn a lot, and you start developing camaraderie, and you realize you're a movement, not just a protest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that... am I capturing something about what's going on with you all?
That's been the vision. I think, you know, the vision of working with these amazing students that are interested and they want to be involved, is the hope is they're not just getting involved in this one event. They're not just getting involved in this one issue, but they are learning, and they're kind of preparing to become people that their whole lives are going to get involved in these things, and that see themselves as people that can stand up and give a voice to their community.
And what about you, Taylor? How do you see this as a broader educational campaign?
Well, this always just getting everybody engaged in what we're talking about and thinking about the bigger pictures and helping students understand that it's not just about test scores, and that these communities are being targeted. It's helping them, like, you know, really get it and understand and be able to actually want to engage in protest and get their parents involved and community members involved. And that's why I'm so positive that this September 27th is going to be so big, because the students have been working on it a lot and they're very excited to save their school.
Now, what day is September 27th? It's next week, right?
Yeah. No, this week.
It's this Thursday.
Oh, my God. OMG. I'm glad that we had you on Tuesday. I'm glad. So let's get concrete. September 27th, folks, listen here. You're here with Tuesday at 4:53. You got 2 days to get over to Dorsey High. Voices from the Frontline listeners, we're going to get this up also on our website. If we don't have it already, we're going to have it all on the Eric Mann Speaks website under the Action Center, that you can check it out there. We have Tanya and Christina working on the website, Tanya Bernard and Christina Vieira, so we'll try to get this up. This would be a great thing, even if you're not directly involved in the fight to save Dorsey. You got to be involved in the fight to save Dorsey. Then you have to be directly involved. And that's what I think Sharon was saying, is that some people are sitting on the Facebook that are not directly involved, but understand that this struggle is for all of us. So in your last minute, tell us all the things you want people to do, and tell us all the things about how they can reach you again. Just keep this information getting out. Like the Facebook site?
Taylor, you want to say it?
Well, the Facebook is Dorsey Dons Fighting Reconstitution.
Dons being D-O-N-S?
Yes.
Dorsey Dons Fighting Reconstitution. Okay, got that.
Then we want them to come to this September 27th event.
This Thursday.
Yeah, this Thursday, 5:30 to 7:30.
And your cell phone again, if that's okay?
Yeah, 323-392-4790.
Okay, and you can do, let's try to get some folks out there. You know, I have some thoughts on some people I might call, but I'm serious. I'm very moved by this conversation. So this is called Voices from the Frontlines. I'm being organized by the work that you're doing. Are you both in the Coalition for Educational Justice?
Yeah.
That's great. So you have 1 minute, Taylor, why should people join the Coalition for Educational Justice?
Because we care about our students learning and organizing, and we just believe in a change. And I feel like everybody should join CEGA because it's a great organization to be in for education.
Sharon, you get the last. Sharon, you get the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, CEJ has been doing a lot of really important work. Students have been learning a lot. I think mostly they're developing their leadership skills, you know, for later in life, and they're going to be people that speak out and speak for change. That's the goal.
Sharon and Taylor, great having you on the show. We're going to get out of here now. This is Voices from the Frontlines. This has been your host, Eric Mann.